the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blessed statement, khair qarni, the best of generations is my generation, and then the one after that, and then the one after that. And as the time and as the generations go further away from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his generation, then in the same way those generations and times will get worse and more spoilt. If we look at this hadith, if we look at today around us, this generation we're in, this generation we're in, this time we are in, this era, if we look at wealth, there's more wealth now than compared to the time of the Holy Prophet. There was a little bit of wealth then, but now there's a lot of wealth. Look how many wealthy countries there are, this country, the Middle Eastern Arab countries. There are mountains of wealth and oil and high-rise buildings. And today, the ease and the comfort that the Ummah has. In the previous generations, times people didn't have those comforts. And if we look at society, tijarat, business, and traveling, everything nowadays, we'll see that everything's so-called progressed. It's at the peak of advancement and progression. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the generations after me will be worse. Look at ibadah. Yes, were there masjids in the that time like they are today? No, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam masjid, the Prophet's mosque sallallahu alaihi wasallam masjid Nabi, it was walls of mud and the roof leaked. Were there carpets like this there? There weren't even mats. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do sajda prostration in the mud. These were the ibadah, the worship, the prostrations of the noble sahaba, the companions. So today if we look at ibadah and worship, mashallah, there are big masjids. People are shocked when they see the masjid today. Their design, if you go to other countries, and you'll say, ooh, amazing masjids that have been constructed, beautiful, mashallah, good, it's good. And look at general worship of people, subhanallah. And there are lots of people on Umrah and Hajj, there are millions of people doing ibadah. And Nafal Umrah, voluntary, optional Umrah, Tawaf, how much people do, it's full up, full. So also if we compare now to before, they will say there's more now. And then on top of that, Quran, durus, speeches, hadith, lectures, that you can see everywhere around us, there's nothing lacking, but there is lacking because the Prophet ﷺ said it's lacking. So we have to seek what's lacking then today, about which the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that after me the generations will get more spoilt and worse. It's not worse off in terms of wealth, because wealth is here, everything is here. So what is it that we are worse off with then today compared to the Holy Prophet ﷺ? What is it that due to something we are lacking that this generation is worse than the time of the Prophet ﷺ? Must be a very unique thing, must be an important, that despite having everything around us, material and comforts and luxuries, with big hospitals, buildings, resources, technology. So why is this generation worse off then? That there is an issue in this generation that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that there will be, and 100% it's true, because the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that my generation is the best. Whatever he says is the truth. 100%. Our iman says this, that whatever he stated is a fact. So brothers, we realize that yes, there is something lacking, and that thing is that not just us, but all the Holy Prophet, but all the Anbiya, the prophets who came to this world, Allah sent them, they came for this amal, this action. And they came and they explained this action. The Holy Prophet, gracious Prophet, was the final prophet, Khatam al-Nabiyyin, Imam al-Mursaleen, and the Imam of the Prophets. When he brought that action to the world, then he completed that action, the Nabi of Allah. He completed that in such a great action. And he came to complete that. Just like Everything that Allah Ta'ala gave, bestowed to the Prophet, completed in his time, they were before the Tawrat, Injil, Zabur. But the Quran was the completion of Allah's message. And that is why the peak was attained at the time. So that amal that the Prophet bore, he completed that amal. At that time it was at the peak, at the height, this amal. And if we look on that measurement gauge and that standard, the Holy Prophet said, if you don't have that, doesn't matter how much you progress, how much money you have, how much wealth you have. Allah's Nabi said that that generation will be a wasteful generation. It will be empty, void. With what? Due to what? Not materially, but with regards to the akhirah, hereafter will be the worst. It will be zero, actually below zero, in the negative. Because it won't have the amal about which Rasulullah said that as the time goes further away from me, that amal will decrease, diminish. What is that amal, that action? Akhlaq. Good conduct, excellent character, manners about which khuluqi azim, Allah defined Rasulullah, that you have the highest standard of akhlaq and moral character and manners. Khuluqi azim, Allah said about the Holy Prophet. And he came to complete the subject of akhlaq. In his generation, mukammal, totally complete, 100%. The deen that Rasulullah gave to us, the top class deen gave to us, which was the foundation, was the akhlaq. The manners, conduct. From this we learn that the Holy Prophet's generation was the best. And as we go further away from that, not in terms of wealth will there be diminishing issues, rather akhlaq will diminish, reduce, evaporate. Conduct, manners, good morals will disappear. Good manners will disappear. There'll be wealth, money and fame, but there'll be no akhlaq. There'll be millions of people going on hajj, doing tawaf, going around the Kaaba. How many people will be there amongst them who don't lie, who don't pester other people, who don't break the hearts of other people, tell me? In our own homes, there will be Quran recited, everything, and big things we'll see. Just like I said, there will be big masjids, everything will be there. But inside the human being, what will he be devoid of? Akhlaq. He won't have akhlaq. He won't have akhlaq. So that generation totally is zero, and the worst. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is explaining this. It will be finished. So it's a very important point. And nobody will try to improve akhlaq. Everyone will say, no, no, I've done ibadah, I've worshipped, I'm this, I've done this many hajj, this many umrah, everything. But what will he be lacking? Akhlaq. Akhlaq will not be present. He'll be praying salah, doing everything. May Allah forgive. But if we look at akhlaq, we won't realize that this person, how much salah does he pray? Look how much ibadah he's doing. Don't understand. What's he's lacking? He doesn't have akhlaq. Yes, we'll have no regard for other people. In our homes, there'll be issues. Yes, there'll be mashallah, big house, and religious household. This child's a hafiz, this is happening, that's happening, they've studied this, they've studied that. But when we look at the akhlaq, astaghfirullah. The words that will come out from the tongue, person will say, huh? What's going on here? Subhanallah, that how can this person's akhlaq be this bad? So they will accuse each other, swearing at each other, and selfishness, and demoting other people, and putting people down. So is this generation not worse off, Toby? So Allah's Nabi said about this point that in that generation, as they go away from me, further from me, the akhlaq will end. When the akhlaq disappears, then consider that everything's gone. It's just like soil, dirt, dust, nothing left. Totally waste everything. And akhlaq, if it comes, subhanallah, then great rewards Allah Ta'ala has placed on akhlaq. It's a great amal, remember this. And the biggest factor here, pointed, the reason why Allah Ta'ala created man is for to attain his ma'rifah, to attain Allah's ma'rifah, Allah's nearness, Allah's qurb, Allah's to understand realize the reality of our Lord and Rabb. All amal Allah's given to us, actions, then the thing through which we will attain all of these things is akhlaq, good manners, good conduct, morals, is akhlaq. If we want to understand, in the hadith it said that all night, if you do ibadah, a person who worships all night long, and in the morning he keeps fast, but, Allahu Akbar, compared to him, the person who has good akhlaq, whose akhlaq is better, then he will be raised in a better way. He will get up in a better way in the hereafter. There are many different examples like this that we can go through. Fahash, immoral, immodest woman, impure, but not with insan, with Allah's makhluq. For example, she has good conduct and manners with the makhluq of Allah. Out of pity, she gave water. Allah Ta'ala sent her to Jannah, paradise. All sins forgiven. Sins forgiven. So quick, one amal, one action, all sins forgiven. Not just the sins forgiven, but she arrived into paradise. One individual is going, he's sinful, he's got nothing to his name, he sees that in the way people, there's an obstacle, or there's a bush here, or branches, let me move out of the way. What does he know? What will be his result due to the action? He just moves the bush out of the way, the obstacle out of the way, the barrier out of the way. And you see in Jannah, he's walking around the highest level, enjoying himself, not just the lowest level, but that he can see, like, you know, for example, he's walking around happy in paradise. Allah, how did he attain this rank? Which amal gave him this reward? He must, person should worship, fast and pray salah and do hajj, but for the amal that Allah's Nabi Sallam came and all the previous prophets came, because the first thing that a person that is spoiled quickly is his akhlaq, his manners. Very quickly his manners are degraded and spoiled. It's a very tender thing, sensitive. Because Allah Ta'ala has given us our eyes, our mouth, our tongue and our face, all of these organs and our limbs, then akhlaq is affected by them. Very quickly the akhlaq, the manners and conduct of a person are affected. You will see, for example, success, Allah Ta'ala has put all success on akhlaq, good akhlaq, that develop your akhlaq, Allah says. And akhlaq, to make akhlaq good, that is the reason we practice tazkiyah. My Hazrat Shaykh said that when you go to Wali Allah, friend of Allah, you go there to make your akhlaq, to develop your manners and conduct. You don't go there to learn salah or fasting. That akhlaq and good manners and conduct is a big lesson that all life long, a person to attain success, all his amal and worship he does, that everything will be accepted when the akhlaq is correct. Okay, fine, I've prayed this many salah, I've done this much, I've given sadaqah and charity, etc. But my akhlaq is really low from my tongue. How much do people like me due to my tongue? When I get angry on somebody, then how do you suppress your anger? When somebody oppresses you, does wrong to you, how do you forgive that person? Subhanallah. So what example is there of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Look in his life, the examples. The Bedouin came, he sat, and he pulled on the Prophet's sheet, that it pulled on their neck. Where's my chair? Where's my chair? Where's my chair? Very difficult. It was difficult for the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to remove that difficulty. Not just the chair, he gave beyond that. The hair, take this and take this and take this. So this is the real point that we need to focus on. We need to develop akhlaq. We need to work hard on akhlaq. Now what is the hard work we need to do to improve our akhlaq? This is something we need to think about. We don't work hard. We don't focus on this issue. We don't think about it. Then our akhlaq goes downhill. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, if we look at his hadith, what a great hadith in Sahih Muslim it's narrated. He stated that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that, look, at least one should, the nafs, the desires that you have, that you should at least have a connection with yourself in such a way that at least through yourself you can mend the broken ties. Subhanallah. At least you should be aware, for example, everybody knows that we only think that our ties are with the mother and father. After mother, father, uncles from both sides, your grandmother, their children, relatives. This is all blood ties. These are all our relatives. So what's the hukam-e order? This hadith in Sahih Muslim. This is deen, our way of life. Not just parents, all our relatives. This is deen. What is it? That we should know their names. That this person, the child of my mum was this, my grandmother, her name, and your cousins and other relatives, you should remember their names. And Allah Ta'ala has given us ease now. Why? That a relative, someone's rich, somebody's poor, somebody's in a bad state, and we're here. So how many of our relatives are in India or Pakistan? They'll be poor, they'll be in need. And we maybe serve just our parents, mother and father. Fine, we do that. Then maybe your sister, for example, she's married, and person doesn't even ask his sister afterwards. Doesn't even think about the sister and the children of the sister. No one thinks that these are very close relatives I'm talking about here. And then your mamu, chacha, your uncles from your parents' side, and other relatives, all your relatives, is stated that you should at least know as much about yourself and have a connection with them, that at least you should know their names. We come here and we forget everyone. Everything. Allah has given us ease that we have £1. How much will they have out of our £1? Pakistan, you get maybe 200? 200 rupees from our £1? Yeah, so if we, in a month or in a week, if we take £5 aside and say, this is for our relatives, will you lose anything out of that £5? Tell me, if you put it aside, £5 a week, you come on Jummah, give sadaqah. So the best sadaqah is this, that you spend and give to your relatives. Spend and give to your relatives. That's the best charity. They are poor, give to them. Look, my mamu, he's poor, my chacha, my dad's brother, my mum's brother, he doesn't have money for medicine, £5. Make a box. Every Friday before you go to Jummah, put the money in there for your relatives. And say to them, alhamdulillah, you give to the masjid, good, that's fine. But the biggest right is for those people who are connected to your blood, due to whom you'll be forgiven. You don't even remember those people. Have no regard for those people. No. I'm against him. We've got arguments. He swore at me. She swears at me. So we have nafs and ego issues. When you're happy and well off and your children are fine and they're poor, then obviously they'll be jealous against you. They'll be angry against you, won't they? Yes, this is obviously a separate point, but that's a fact. Naturally, he doesn't ask about us, how am I, etc. So if they're upset or down, there's a little bit of a reason there. They think that maybe he's got so much. There's a very simple formula here and solution. And even here, not everybody's rich that he can get money to make a shop or a house. Even here we are in difficult, everyone has different circumstances. Somebody is rich, somebody's not. There are taxes, there are levies, and there are expenses here as well, of course. But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has ordered that the biggest ibadah, and this will give you forgiveness, that £5 that you put aside on Jummah for your relatives, by chance you die, and I've total yaqeen and certainty, because I can speak on yaqeen through the ruh of the hadith, inshallah, that £5 of yours will make you get forgiveness. Subhanallah. Because you had did good against your poor sister, cousin, they don't have money for fees or expenses. So you don't want the burden to come suddenly on you. Don't be upset with what I'm saying, brothers. I just give solutions. Don't be upset with what I'm saying. What I'm saying, rather than suddenly a burden comes on you, a demand, use your sense, okay, put £2 aside a week then if you can't. If £5, even though £5 is nothing for sadaqah a week, if that £200 you're earning, take £5 out of that. But it's so hard to take £5, oh yaar. Oh, we'll have a takeaway for £5 on Jummah. We'll have a takeaway, but it's hard to take the £5 out for sadaqah. Alhamdulillah, we're doing other things in the world, in the dunya. Allah's Nabi said, no, listen to the hadith. That's different what you're doing. But initiate from your home, your family. Remember those who are related to you, their names. And, oh, he's got a son, have a list, that cousin, this relative's got a child, and that person's poor. This is our deen. This is Quran. These are the juz of the Quran, if we dwell on this. These are the juz that we know, for example, we know salah, we know to do dhikr, etc. But even this, we should be doing the true deen about which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala came for this deen, due to which He came. He didn't come to teach us salah and teach us ibadah and worship. No, that all the ibadah that we do, the worship, etc., this is for being grateful to Allah for what we've got the deen. Ibadah, worship is to be grateful that Allah, there's a beautiful hadith rather, the companions are sat there talking, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, what are you doing here? I said, Ya Rasulullah, we're not doing anything. They were afraid maybe they did something wrong. No, what are you doing? Tell me, explain. They said, we are remembering Allah, doing dhikr of Allah, subhanallah. And then they explained the reason for remembering Allah. That behind the dhikr there was a reason. There was a maqsad, that why they're doing dhikr. That you are remembering Allah. Why are you remembering Allah? That, tell us why. Because Allah Ta'ala, you gave us iman and you gave us the great Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You gave us the Quran, so we are grateful for this. The people like us, we were Bedouins, and we were people who had no literacy, and we attained the Nabi like you. All the previous Ummahs, no Nabi like you, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was attained by any previous Ummah. We attained your sohbet, your company. So this was their gratefulness. So Allah's Habib was so surprised and happy. He said, Wallahi, by Allah, this is the reason why you are sat and you're remembering Allah and doing dhikrullah. You are being grateful to Allah for this reason, to the favor that Allah has given to you. And they said, yes, ya Rasulullah, bilkul, wallahi, totally. The Rasulullah said, that's not why I'm saying for you to swear by Allah. I don't have a negative thoughts. Rather, Jibreel alayhi salam, he gave me the message of Allah's. He came to me. That Allah gave me a message that your Rabb is proud of your companions who are doing this action. Subhanallah. So my brothers, such a great Nabi, our Prophet came to teach us akhlaq, manners, morals, conduct. We should be grateful. Is this a small thing he came to teach us? Akhlaq, manners is the worst. Today you go to any house, knock on the door. Yes, he's two half, he's one half, one alima, this, and she's this, he's done hips, he does this, he does that, he does this job, he's got this career, he's a computer engineer, he's a doctor. And you'll see a household that's very family on the outset. But when you spend one day there, and you'll see splits and divisions and issues and clashes. And you say, what's going on here? Fighting, quarreling, problems, disputes, swearing at each other, slander. Well, how forgiveness will these people attain? So this is the generation about which Rusum referred to, as Abu Hurairah said, at least minimum, you should at least have a connection to yourself. In other words, at least you should know in your memory that the list of your relatives, so you can be good to them, you can be kind to them, show acts of kindness to them. £5 I was talking about. Yeah, so £5 a week, if you put into a box, sadaqah, tell me, £5 a month, in the month, how much will it be? Multiply. £20. £20 if you send to a poor person in Pakistan, you'll get nice amount of money. Alhamdulillah. And £20 if you keep on saving after 3 months, send it. Then you don't have that much money to send. And one thing, say that alongside that, remember this. That the money, the barakah you get in return for that, you will not be able to go after that box. It will show you the result. One day you'll be shocked at the result. This box, your box might be small that you put the money in, but it will start to expand. So this was for £5, and it will expand, and then this will come, you put sadaqah in, let me put this sadaqah in, and they will become bigger. And as you put in £5, £5, £5, and the hadith, it comes, the learning, the beautiful point that's coming to my mind, I'd like to share with you through this hadith. Subhanallah, beautiful point. So due to being kind and merciful to others, you are merciful and kind to others. This is the reward I will give you. Charitable act due to this ibadah. Other ibadahs, you won't get the reward that Allah will give you. This is £5 a week. You spend, you phone your sister, ask how she is. We phone everywhere. Friends, chit-chat, business, discussions. Never will you phone your mummy-ji. Your auntie should be so happy. The people far away. Oh, from England he remembered us. Oh, how are you? How comes you remembered us? Extra subhanallah. They'll be happy. And if you send a check to them, then subhanAllah, how much satisfaction there will be. Sadaqat, give. Charity. Priority give to who? The relatives, the blood ties, the kin, the relatives, to your household people. Not your mother and father, just, I told you what did Rasulullah SAW said. That be aware of your relatives to their names. You should know them, who they are in your family. So tell me now. Our zakat, I say that in your home, it will develop and you will get them. And there are so many people within your home. You can give zakat. Somebody needs cure. Someone's got TB, tuberculosis. Someone's got cancer. Someone's got this problem, this issue, this malady. Can't go to the hospital. Do you know in society people in hardship? Yes. And we give money for masjids, constructing Allah's house. Allah says, more than that, I like you to construct and develop and mend the hearts. Make the heart happy. So that someone says, aha, from their heart. And there's dua for you. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. Say subhanallah then. Subhanallah. Yeah, this is deen. Your heart should be happy. If you spend £5 in this way, believe what I'm saying. Just our Rasul's hadith. All night long ibadah, greater satisfaction you'll attain by doing this action of spending the money. For your relatives, more satisfaction. You give money to that person spends the money. Then I swear by Allah, their heart will expand and be happy. But just remember one thing, another point, that shaitan spoils the actions. When you do this amal of charity, you come to dhikr, shaitan will put waswasa in your ears and heart that to spoil this action, which is your enemy. in no way does he want to allow, even if you're at the Kaaba, shaitan will come to destroy the amal of being in front of the Kaaba. He'll give waswasa that what he's earned today, I want him to waste it. Even though this is the gathering of dhikr, my brothers, imagine when the dhikr gathering, even here shaitan will try to spoil your gathering. It's announced that Allah says, I've forgiven everybody if we talk about the dhikr gathering. So the angel said, Allah, the one man, he came to, he didn't come for dhikr, he didn't come to remember you, he had another intention, another objective. That Allah, we were spies and we were there at the gathering, we knew who that person, he wasn't sincere, he didn't come for dhikr, he came for some other purpose to the majlis. He didn't want to sit in the majlis. So what does Allah say? Subhanallah. This is the response. Allah says, my majlis of dhikr is so great, so merciful, so blessed that a person comes to that gathering with any intention, any thought, I forgive that person. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This hadith sahih. So here the person's forgiven, doesn't matter what intention he had, but shaitan comes and injects the waswasa into his ears and heart to waste even that amal. Understand this point. So always shaitan, that's his objective, that any good amal you're doing, the person, he walks or he does something towards something good, shaitan says, I need to put his name in the list of the jahannami people, the people destined for hellfire. Doesn't matter what he's doing. But this is the dunya of muhabbat, love, not hatred that we're living in. We are living in the world of love and regard for each other. Love each other. What's there in hate? When you hate someone, your heart is burning. Yeah, your heart is burning. What a waste of time. You won't have satisfaction, peace. But when you love someone, when you love someone, found them with love. And especially the person who's enemy with you, I swear by Allah, you will feel so happy, you will be amazed when you find someone who's against you. Behind this is what? Allah's Nabi some sahih, his statement about how to deal with the person who's against you. We just know a few things that, oh, we'll get close to Allah by doing ibadah. But look at this point here as well. What a great statement. That, for example, if you show love to people and share love with people rather than enmity, and if with your enemy you give love and regard, then you'll get more satisfaction and peace out of that. So when you are kind towards others, when you demonstrate kindness and mercy and you're thoughtful for others, look at the reward in the hadith. The first greatest reward of being kind and merciful. As I said to you, the good points coming in my mind, I'm sharing that with you. That we say, that who should I give to? First reward for being kind and merciful and giving to those in need and your relatives. First reward, let's say first and foremost, those relatives, I will increase the love between those relatives. SubhanAllah. Such a great reward, what can I say to you? That the biggest enmity is not people away from you, from the public, it's in your household. He's the son of my uncle, the son of my auntie. And we say in Punjabi, those who are closer to us, there's so much enmity between the people, cousins, and that, why is he gone ahead? Why is he more well off? Why is he less off? They're blood relatives. And they'll burn mostly. The how did he get promotion? How did he arrive to America, his son? And how did his daughter achieve this feat? And why did she do hifs? And not the people from external, general public. Who are the people who burn and jealous? Are your internal family. But if you're kind and merciful, Allah Ta'ala says that amongst you, I will develop the love within you amongst your hearts. SubhanAllah. Which is an impossible thing amongst relatives to have love to develop and generate and multiply. Very difficult. But due to your kindness and generosity and mercy, Allah says, your first word I'll give to you is they will love you and you will love them. Mutual love. They will not be jealous of your progression. They'll not be jealous of your advancement. They won't hate you. They won't dislike you. Rather, they'll be happy. Wow, look at my cousin, look at my relative. He was kind and merciful. First reward, Allah says, you will have a strong tie amongst each other. That you'll have love amongst each other. You'll be, you'll love each other and be happy by giving gifts to each other and helping each other and assisting each other. Tell me, what a great reward Allah has given. Reward number one. For spending and being kind to your relatives. Allah Ta'ala strengthens your kumbah, your ties. Look, du'as are there for each other. Especially, for example, you got pain, difficulty. They'll do du'a for you if you're in trouble. That in your absence, if they do du'a for your relative, Allah, give him health. He's my mamu, used to give money to me, used to do good to me. Automatically, his hands will raise up for that person. So our du'as, whether they're not accepted, but their du'as for us will be accepted. Can this ever be? That if you favor someone, Allah says that if you favor someone, definitely the favor will be returned. Can it be that you favor someone and he doesn't return the favor for you? There cannot be a good person if you don't return the favor. Obviously his heart will feel that, look, he was favorable to me, he helped me. You say, okay, he's a good man. He came in my time of need and he assisted me. Let me do dua for him. Now he's in need. So this is a favor that you get the return. Enmity is not good, is it? Enmity. So if you are kind, generous, merciful, you help someone, this is a special subject for those who live in this country, especially. That we people, we forget mostly our relatives. Don't take what I'm saying badly. Yes, because we're far, aren't we? We're distant. When we're distant, we go sometimes, and some who are born here, they don't even know about their relatives and their ancestors. Doesn't mean that you're born here and that your relationship with them is ended. Allah says, no, remember their names, remember their words and phone them and strengthen the ties with them. You are where your relatives, and from far away that relationship strengthens. People say, oh, don't tell him I'm his relative. I don't want him to know I live here. He's going to ask for money from me. I don't want him to from me. I can't afford to help them. Subhanallah. Allah Zabizam says, no, you tell them yourself your relative. Do you need something? I'll send it to you from me. Subhanallah. Should we, my friends, do this or not? Look what a great ibadah Allah Ta'ala is prescribing, giving to us explanation. And then the second reward. First reward, Allah strengthens the ties, the love. The reason that we've come here to make a house, that we want to make a house in Pakistan, mansion, do this. We've come here for that reason, isn't it? Yes, whether we're going to go back or not, whether Corona will allow us to go back or not, we don't know. Corona, will it go, disappear? But we're sad, we've come here, let's make money and amass money that we make a house back home. People say, oh, look at his house, we're not going to live there. People even there will devour, they'll take your land, your house, your assets. But what happens? Allah's Nabi has stated, due to that maal that you have come here to earn, you have no need to come here. Rather what? Be kind and generous, that your maal, Allah Ta'ala says, I will multiply and increase it. Yes, that I, myself, because the reference when I give it, everyone's listening, they say that you spoke about me. So due to this, but this is the case, and from our relatives, maybe he's listening in Pakistan, people here around the world, what I'm saying. So from my relatives, there are people, alhamdulillah, that with a good method, and I've seen with my eyes, that how secretly they go and give to a family who were close relatives of his, secretly he'd give to them, and how much Allah Ta'ala, his business, Allah multiplied it, increased it, developed it. I was amazed when I saw that, I witnessed that. That he is making this building now, he's developing this now, he's constructing a town, a complete town, a township that we define. I said, the 1,000 houses you've constructed, I said, what is it that you do? He said, no, nothing, nothing at all. I thought, let me spy, and what is his action, and let me find out. Townships and villages and localities, he's even constructed a khanka there. He said, when you come here, the khanka says, so I was amazed. I said, what's it, what's his action that he does? That he didn't have that much money, that he's not a fraudster. How did he develop? How did he improve and increase? Eventually I realized that in secret, the poor relatives of ours, widows, children, he gave to them and he reared them. He supported them. And the most important thing, that he did not let them feel that he was giving to them. That how did he play this out? That never tell anyone, never let them feel, I did this for you, I did that for you, I favor you. Never make them feel that. Never remind them. How did he provide for them? Allahu Akbar. He would say that I do a little bit of business, so shall I invest your money into that business? And they said, oh, brother, if you can invest a little bit, that we are your cousin brothers, we are your relatives, I'm your cousin sister, her husband passed away, the poor woman, and young children she had. And he said, okay, fine, I'll invest the funds for you, this little bit of money. And she hadn't even given anything, or he didn't give anything. They didn't know that. He said, whatever income comes from this, I will take out your share from this Sharia wise, and I'll give to you. And 3-4 multiplied. And they said, sister, today, such a great achievement due to your barakah, that such profit, this much amount I've earned. He said, how much? He said, this much, that inshallah, you know, this broken down house of yours, will redevelop it. He made the house and he provided for their studies. Not one, few families. So Allah Ta'ala allowed him to develop a whole township, a locality, a big town he constructed. Thousands. In Karachi. And very famous construction. So my brothers, with my eyes I've witnessed, this was the Sahih Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever does this action, Allah says, I will multiply his wealth beyond recognition. Don't keep your fists closed and tight, brothers. Not this, that 1,000 comes, then you'll give. With iman, if you have 10 pounds only to your name coming in, right, then 10 pounds, take 2 out. Yes? Then if it reduces, doesn't matter, take 2 pounds out. Even if 2 pounds comes out today, then even if 8 left, that's enough to support yourself. Don't look, he's got 1,000, he's spending that. No, even if you got 10 pounds, take a little bit out. This is for my sister, for their children, for this person's daughter, etc. So you don't even need to go from here, you can send the money. Yes? That, so first, what did I say, the point? That even your enemy, even the people who are closest to you, your relatives, then they will become your beloveds. The ties will strengthen. The poverty will end, second point. And your maal, whatever business you do, whatever you do, it will multiply and increase. Allah will increase it. The third point, unique point, Allah has given thawab here. Unique thawab. Great thawab. What's the thawab? The third thawab? Is that everything of your life, Allah says, I will put barakah and blessings. That, subhanAllah, more than quantity is barakah. Remember this. If you've got 100 pounds, this is quantity. And if somebody's got 10 pounds, he's got barakah in that 10 pounds, then he is equivalent to 1,000 pounds, that person, who has the barakah. It doesn't even end the barakah of that person's funds. He says that I'm eating, drinking, spending, alhamdulillah. But his money is just there still, left over. So this is also an example, not one. There are many examples that you will see like this as well. And those who are miserly and stingy, person like me, is saving up in the pocket. What does he have? That money, there's no barakah in it, no blessings in it. So if you've got 1,000 or 5,000, don't look at quantity. First thing you should look at is barakah, blessings, weight. And where's their weight? Where's their barakah and blessings? Whether you work or you run a business or whatever you do, first and foremost, what do you need to look for? That 10,000 or this much or quantity? No. What, you'll have to do this. No. The thing you need to look, that for example, you've got 100,000, you'll have to do this. That look, for example, for barakah, what is the principle that Allah is saying? Barakah is in that which is halal, which is lawful. If you say, how much has he got? 100,000, you're earning, just have to lie a little bit. Or, hey, I'll give you 1 million, this is your profit, but just sign here in a wrong way, and say the false testify, hey, this is your job, just sit here, and you just have to make papers, and present them in front of the boss. You say, though, I'll do this action, the right one. You give me 300 pounds, not that much. Because he knows it's not 300, it's 30,000, 3 million, more than that. Why? Looks less, because a person earns so that he can spend on his requirements. So in the 3 million, he can't make a house, he can't bring up his kids, there will be sickness and problems and difficulties. And in the 300, all of his expenses will be fulfilled. Whatever he wanted 3 million for, he will get the completion from his 300. Say subhanAllah. So how much do you have to increase and multiply? Quantity? No, barakah you have to increase. The barakah. And then the next reward Allah Ta'ala has given. The next point. A great reward. A deep, unique guarantee. To be saved from illness, from difficulties, from accidents, from tragedies. The person who's kind and generous, Allah says, I will increase his age. SubhanAllah. Is there any injection that can increase age? Corona vaccine. Corona comes again. Put the booster jab. And then after that, you get more sick again. But what does Allah Ta'ala say? That if you're kind and generous and mend the ties, then the booster, after the booster, even the sicknesses, father won't come near to you. Because Allah says, I'll guarantee the life for you. Ask somebody, did you have the booster jab? You say, booster? What booster? No. I just sent a check to my sister back home. And I put the bigger booster into my life. SubhanAllah. That's the guarantee Allah has given, the bonus. Allah, He gives the guarantee due to your generosity. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. So now will money be sent back home? Yes. Remember the people back home. Here there's nobody poor too much. Here. So this, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us this lesson and statement. This is such a great action. And then Allah is also unhappy with that person. That for example, Allah Ta'ala has given, as many as the rewards Allah has given for being generous and kind and merciful to his families. But if you ignore this, oh, there's no need to do this. Ah, oh, forget asking them. They'll support themselves. I ain't got enough for my own kids. Forget about them. Shall I look at other people or look at my kids? Every Thursday night, this hadith has come to my mind I'd like to share with you. Every night of Jummah, Thursday night, which now we're sitting in the night of Jummah. How blessed a night is this? Think about it. Allah Ta'ala, astaghfirullah, isn't sent us to a pub, to a bar, whatever need Allah sent us here with. Allah sent us to His home. We are in Allah's home. And on top of that, we are not here to do fard ibadah, compulsory action, not for some, for fard ibadah we here. People have come from far and wide. Hey, Mawlana Sahib, where has he come from, this Mawlana Sahib? Tell me. Did he ever need to come here? Leave his locality? That, for example, I know he's come from far, but maybe I don't know his name. His town, he's come from far, this person, and there'll be people from here, from other areas. What is the reason? ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَى. Subhanallah. That we look at buildings, and Allah says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. We say, oh, look at him, he's got big buildings and assets and that, and he's made money from what the people swear at him, he's taken our funds, and the person who's looking after the building, he's taken these many funds, and his children, they're cursing him. But Allah says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَى. Tuck. That this is the stamp of approval Allah Ta'ala gives. Is this not the case? So here we realize, subhanAllah, the night of Jummah, look at the hadith. In the night of Jummah, Allah Ta'ala's favor and grace and mercy to us is that we are not sat here doing something wrong, because there are many wrong actions you can do. Open playing field today, go anywhere. That your family, where did you go? I went to meet my friend. Do you know where he went? He went to the alcohol den or to gamble, and they spend all night long, come in the morning. Some people say, I went to hear a speech. Some people say, I went on Jamaat and there's Taleem there. Who knows where that person went? Who knows? Yes, maybe if you want to play games, there are many techniques to lie and deceive. But Allah Ta'ala said, I'll send you to my home. And Allah Ta'ala could have sent us somewhere else, into the wilderness. What need do we have to come from far? There's no wali Allah here, no friend here, no one sat here, no one special sat here. Why have we come to this gathering? We all sat here, normal people. But Allah Ta'ala said, go to the majlis, to the gathering. Allah permitted us. We came here, we arrived here. Not that we've come here to meet a friend of Allah, or an elder, or a pious person. Who's here? Just me. Astaghfirullah. Yeah, otherwise there's nobody else here. Maybe you are good and pious. I don't know about myself what I am. Nothing. Yes, minus, I'm beyond even minus, below minus. I speak about myself. So why are people coming here? What's the need? There's a point here due to which Allah Ta'ala sent us here. Yes, you've not come for me, have you? There's just a normal jahil person. Allah Ta'ala is not going to send anyone here to my company. Even when people see me, they lose hope. They lose hope. They think, oh, what this person we've come to? So what is the factor, the point that people are coming from far and wide and they're sat here? There's one factor. The name of Allah has brought us here. The name of Allah has brought us here. Allah's name, that for example, this masjid is not, no, behind this name of Allah, there's a greater factor. Say subhanAllah. If you say loudly subhanAllah, then I'll tell you what is the secret behind all of this. Now I'll tell you, what is it? The secret behind this is Ali Murtaza's blessings, my Shaykh's blessings. His permission, that Allah Ta'ala loves his walis. It's not me. You are here, pious, mashallah. But behind this, Ali Murtaza, alhamdulillah, my Shaykh, it's his first blessing. He instructed that revive Allah's name. And he permitted Allah in this town, in this country, and instill it with nur, the people of that country, with your name. So Allah Ta'ala prepared that. So that is the desire of that wali that's pulling us here. I am getting the blessings, and due to me, I'm getting the blessings as well. Otherwise, there's no fares due to me. Who's going to ask me? Alhamdulillah. So Hazrat Sahib, my Shaykh, his dua, he sat, he did dua. Look, the walis of Allah, they do dua for the whole world, the people of the world. In America, Allah send deen, Allah send Palestine, the Palestinians the deen. Their nighttime duas are full of this. The Allah Ta'ala calls that person his wali. The Allah send deen to England. My Shaykh, look at the people of that world, that country. Allah put on their heads imama, put muhabbat and love into their hearts. This is my Shaykh's dua, that he sat in the jungle and wilderness and he did dua, and Allah Ta'ala has fulfilled that dua here. So then, on the night of Jummah, such a blessed night, the hadith I share with you, the barakah of this night, in that night, Allah Ta'ala brought us, assembled us in his home, and due to the dua and the connection with his wali, Ali Murtazam, Allah Ta'ala allowed us to do his dhikr. And after this dhikr, subhanAllah, Allah announces that all the people who came are forgiven, all of those people. All of those people. In which night? In a normal night. But which night is this? This is special select night. That is, and this happens in the night. If you come tomorrow, you'll get this. If you come tomorrow on Isha, the same point, you'll get the same reward. Say subhanAllah. Allah gives tawfiq. Then the night on Jummah is a great dhikr. So may Allah Ta'ala send you on Jummah on Friday from far, and you are assembled as well. It's not just Thursday night we assemble. Don't just be a Thursday night person. Be a person on Jummah as well who comes. come on the evening, on the day of Jummah, and in the night again. But today, the reward and the result, you won't get tomorrow on Jummah. You won't get it on Monday. The rest of the week, you'll get the action, you'll get the reward, you'll get the forgiveness. But what is the factor here? The night of Jummah, there's a great barakah. What is that? That our amal, our deeds, Rasulullah said, our deeds are presented in the court of Allah. Our deeds are presented in the court of Allah. Tonight, that's why this night is so blessed. That tonight, on this day, our amal are going where? To Allah's court they are presented. And at that time when our deeds are presented to Allah, then especially there'll be a point here. Allah said, oh, on this night my servants are sat and doing my dhikr, my remembrance. Subhanallah. This cannot be done tomorrow. You won't get the same. So tonight is so blessed that tonight, on this night, our deeds are presented to Allah. So two things, remember, listen here. This means that it's not necessary that, for example, your amal, your deeds are being gathered, collected, and soon as Thursday night comes, then all the amal are presented in the court of Allah. He's doing this now, your servant Allah. He's doing this. Step by step, not just after the death decision we've been made, even while you're living, Allah will write your rizq, Allah will write your health. Then look, Allah, your servant on this night of Thursday is doing this, in the week he did this action, dirty actions, sinful actions, or good actions, pious actions, and on the night of Jummah, Allah sees those actions. Look at the hadith about kindness and generosity. When the deeds are presented to Allah on Thursday night, and he'll have good actions, good deeds and good amal, Allah Ta'ala, one amal, Allah will say, I don't accept one amal. Allah rejects the amal. What amal is that? That individual, his actions, that person who, with his relatives, he's not kind and he breaks the relationships. Now tell me. That individual who mends the ties, you've heard his praise, he who breaks the ties amongst his relatives, the person who breaks the relationships, that person's punishment is that on this night, Thursday night, Friday night, Allah Ta'ala says, when the deeds are presented to me, I reject his deeds. Oh Allah, he prays Salah, he prays the Hajjud. Allah says, reject. Because that person, he swore at his sister, swore at his relative, disliked his relative, he did this bad action, he treated this person badly, reject the deeds. So here, we understand, subhanallah, glory be to Allah, those people who have khawf and fear of Allah, fear of the hereafter, fear of death, who recognize of taqwa, fear of Allah, they are afraid so much that even the person who's against them, the relative, then they'll do good to that person, that we are not going to be upset with this person. That's why they do good. You don't do it for the sake of that person, to run after and be a sidekick of that person. No, they do good to their relatives, that my deeds are going to be presented. I don't want to be rejected, even if that person's against me and thinks bad against me, but I will make friendship with that person. I'll keep on giving gifts to that person. I'll keep on sending money to that person, holding that person in regard and treating him kindly and nicely. So this is the night of Jummah, great message and decision on the night of Jummah for that person's deeds is made. So for us, we have so many veils in front of us. We don't understand what's accepted, what's not accepted, what's good deeds, what's not. We put our own standard. He's a wali Allah, he's a kutub, he's pious, he's rejected, he's not good. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu has told us through all of the hadith. According to a hadith and sunnah, we need to correct our lives, my friends. On every step, we need to think, what does hadith guide me here? What will I get for doing this? In result of this, what will be the punishment? If I do this wrong, what will be the punishment? If I do this good, what will be the reward? And on these points, if we just think like this, each small point of the deen of Sharia, that be kind and generous to your relatives, look after them. And if we start thinking like this, today how much did I look after my relatives, what did I do? Because amal, on the night of Thursday when our deeds are presented to Allah, there will be big actions, worship, Quran, recitation, everything. But the most important point Allah will be seeking, looking at, even those you spent on the masjid, charity, on other places, for the deen, for the orphans, everything will be there. But most important factor and point that will turn all the other deeds into success, did he spend on his poor relative? Did he give for his poor relatives? Allah would be looking. No, he didn't. Why? Because, I was against him. He didn't like me. She didn't like me. Why should I give to me? He said this to me. Not even this. Give, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give. Today, if you give money to that person, for whose sake? Not for that person's sake, for your Rabb's sake, to please your Lord. To please your Lord. Then your Rabb will have been happy with you. Tell me now. Tell me. So, there's many things to say, discuss and share. but to please Allah, we can now do the action of dhikr, whatever I've said. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. May Allah give me the ability to practice first and foremost, and you brethren also, and you people also, to make our hereafter. May Allah give us the tawfiq that we can practice upon what we've discussed. Ameen. Recite the Ruchbi.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalatu wassalamu ala sayyidu al-mursaleen. Shafi'i al-kazlameen. Tawhu yasin. Nabi'i al-alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa azwajihi ummahatil mu'minin wa zurriyyatihi wa ahli baitihi kama sallaita ala ali ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa sallim tasliman daiman abadan كثيراً 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعملنا كل ذلك عندنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا دعا فرمائے جو حضرات بیمار ہیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے اللہ تعالیٰ ان سب کو شفا کاملا آج نصیب فرمائے جو گھروں میں بیمار ہیں ہسپتالوں میں بیمار ہیں یا اللہ سب کو شفا کاملا آج نصیب فرما یا اللہ ان بیماری پر ان کو اجر نصیب فرما وہ بیماری ان کے لیے آسان فرما میرے مولا اس بیماری کے وجہ سے ان کو درجات بلند فرما ان کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما میرے مولا ہمارے ایک ساتھی ہیں ان کی ایک عزیزہ پاکستان میں ایکسیڈنٹ سے فوت ہو گئی ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ ان کی بخشش فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ ان کے درجات بلند فرمائے اور سب کو اللہ تعالیٰ آسمان کو سور زمین نصیب فرمائے جس طرح ہمارے سلسلے کی خاتون ہیں ان کی بہن کا آپریشن بھی تھا پاکستان کراچی میں تو بیمار ہیں ان کی بیماری بھی سخت ہے ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو بھی شفا کامل عاجل سے فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ ہم سب کو بھی اس آفت سے اس بیماری سے محفوظ فرمائے وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وآلہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون والسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.